Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Let me start by saying that this program is live. This is not some rerun. For that matter, I haven't been able to run reruns either, but this is not a rerun. This is the live horn broadcast for Tuesday, the 7th day of March, 2017. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you'd like to jump into the chat room and be met by the likes of Anatole and Don from Central PA and Hoghead and Laborman and Steve from Georgia Stan, VT Blom, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky. Yes, you will be greeted. You will be welcome. It's just a matter of going to HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, clicking on chat room, picking yourself out a screen name and a password, and joining the ruckus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Carol Baker. I'm home and I can hear you through the miracle of Hooterville Tomato Can and Telegraph. Yes, yes, yes. Thanks, Carol. Thanks very much. And that's saying something that Carol can hear us this evening because, about 100,000 people in her neck of the woods are without power after a series of tornadoes flattened the living bejesus out of the area last night. I'm just glad Carol's safe and that her neighbors are as well. Because we didn't have a tornado here last week. We had something similar. It wasn't even similar. It was just 3.5. What we had on March the 1st, Wednesday, March the 1st, and this is primarily for people who don't do Facebook and don't do Twitter and therefore didn't see my volume of updates along the way. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. We had about 3.5 to 5 minutes of 60-mile-an-hour winds. And that was sufficient to take down electricity for 100,000 people, mostly in almost-level West by God Trump, Virginia. And it happened almost exactly 4.5 years to the day after the great derecho of 2012, when we found out just how rickety and flimsy the nasty old coal-fired, toxic, ancient electricity grid in West Virginia really is. On the heels of that disaster, which kept us out of power for about 2 weeks, and was about 3 months later supplemented by Superstorm Sandy, which dumped a foot of snow and knocked us out of power for another 4 or 5 days. The fine folks at Appalachian Power went hat in hand, weeping great crocodile tears, to the Public Service Commission of West Virginia and said, "We need a rate increase. We need to make all those rubes pay us lots more money for the electricity we sometimes provide. Because, see, we've got to invest in infrastructure and we've got to repair all this damage that those storms done did. Oh, please." And so the Public Service Commission said, oh, there, that's a poor baby. Oh, come here, Snookums. Yes, the rubes are going to make it all better. I mean, we mean ratepayers. Absolutely. Come here. Let Mama give you a binky. Yeah, there we go. Yes. And then they took the money, and they gave it to their shareholders and their executive class in the form of dividends and executive bonuses, and didn't do absolutely jack shit to make anything better for the next time a disaster struck, which did last March 1st, Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the reality. So we were off air and out of electricity Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and up into Sunday afternoon when they finally got it back. This was challenging because it got rather, after a decidedly tepid February, it got rather ugly cold with the beginning of March, one may say, and, you know, this is the, you know, the old farmer, old timers, in March comes in like a lamb, it goes out like a lion, and vice versa. Well, it came in like a lion, but with climate change, it may go out like a goddamn Tyrannosaurus Rex, who knows. But it came in like a lion, all right. One of the things we did not know until the power came back on is in what shape our hardwired internet connection would be in. Hint, not good. I did. I had a clue about this, you know, Colonel Mustard in the billiard room with the lead pipe, when I pulled into the driveway on March 1st and saw that the wire that ran from the pole to the mansion here was laying in the driveway. To their credit, Frontier got somebody out here lickety-split to get it out of the driveway, but because we had no electricity, we had no way of knowing if the connection itself was any good, which it wasn't. So now we wait with bated breath for the repair crew to show up, and, well, they're kind of busy. Mm-hmm. Yes. And we don't know when that's going to happen. So right now we're running on metered bandwidth, which comes to us via our cell phone provider. And I keep this on hand for exactly this reason. But as a program note, let me just add that there don't send me emails saying that the rerun stream is not streaming, because there is no rerun stream. We simply cannot afford to use the metered bandwidth to run the rerun stream. We'd be out of it and paying $15 a gig before we knew what hit us, and we'll probably be doing that anyway between now and whenever they get the Frontier connection back up and running. So that's the story. Last night, I was all ready to go, but we had a persistent message on the streaming computer saying we did not have a valid IP configuration for the streaming computer, and with Snork's help, I got that sorted out, so that's why you're hearing me now. Thank you very kindly to Snork for, you know, talking me down off the ledge and out of the trees. So that all having been said, we are 7 days into the month of March, and Agnes and I owe a profound debt of gratitude to all of our subscribers and a handful of Hortonistas who jumped into the breach while we were off air. This was not a matter of convenience, it was a matter of survival. On Friday night, temperatures got down into the mid-teens, and little propane space heaters, I mean, it helped. It kept us alive. But if it were not for the little handful of Hortonistas and and our regular monthly subscribers who come in day by day by day, things could have been much more dire and much more dangerous. And so thank you. I did some basic ciphering, and this disaster cost something a little bit over $500 because of things you can't do, like, you know, cook or heat with electricity. Now, I think we spent something like $280 on propane alone. So thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. And never doubt when I say that it is your contributions that keep this on the air, that it is absolutely true. And in some instances, it doesn't just keep us on the air. It keeps us alive. And for that, again, thank you. So, we have not had a program in the month of March. So this evening, I can announce that Shirley's Challenge, which comes around with the first broadcast of every month, ordinarily the first day of the month when the first falls during the week, Monday through Friday, Shirley puts forward a $200 challenge in hopes that others will meet it, and then Shirley doubles what they've done. So that's where we are on the 7th of March. Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge is on the table. Thank you, Shirley. Thank you very kindly. And hopefully folks will respond and get their contributions doubled by you. It is much, much appreciated. And couldn't come at a better time. Because, frankly, we are in a fundraising hole somewhere between $800 and $1,000. And that's no fault of anybody's. That's because we weren't broadcasting. But that's where we are. So matching Shirley's challenge will get us, we'll knock down $400 of that and leave us with $600 to go. So if you want to help us out, and this becomes, it does become rather dire, and it does begin to resemble crisis stuff. When we get this way, because there's not a lot of distance between that and off the air. So if you want to go over to headonradionetwork.com and click on contribute, it is much appreciated and it is decidedly needed. And we also welcome, we've got two subscribers for this particular day. We'd love to have more. If you'd like to click that box that says make this a recurring monthly donation, you're more than welcome to do so, and we encourage it and we appreciate it. So, we'll try to keep track. We'll start with trying to meet Shirley's challenge, and then we'll go from there. So thank you everybody. For all that you have done so far. Yes, James writes in an email, got you some of that newfangled electricity? We do. And on top of Shirley's challenge, Ralphs just said, I'm offering a $50 challenge. Hugs. Thank you, Ralphs. So there's $250 of challenge on the table. Thank you, Brother Deacon. Asa, knocked out $40 of Shirley's challenge. That leaves $160 to go. So hopefully, matters will improve in fairly short order. Giving me some backup on my remarks regarding Appalachian Power, Brother Deacon Gerald says, AEP is so bad here at my home, mind you, my house is only about 5 miles from the state capitol building, that I invested in a generator a couple of months ago. It is fired by natural gas because, well, electricity, gasoline, pumps, AEP. You know, they're atrocious. And I am more convinced than I have ever been before that in somewhere along the way, in fairly short order, We're going to have a crowdfunding campaign to put some solar power into this studio. I've talked about it for years, and this most recent disaster just makes me all the more convinced that it's something that simply has to happen. Yeah, Marty. Newfangled electricity, old-fashioned buffering. Not on this end, bub. Not a lick of buffering going on. I mean, this is some blazing fast wireless internet. I mean, it's like 30 down and 10 up. So, no buffering coming from this end. We're rock solid sending. Okay, and so that's the story. That just sort of, I hope, explains the absence. It was not by choice, and it wasn't because I was laying out playing hooky or down to the strip club or off on some sort of merry jaunts down south to buy hot dogs and barbecue. Nor was it because I was laid up sick. I ain't great, but I'm behind the microphone. And the problem with being the problem with an enforced absence like that is that you kind of sit and scream at the walls because all kinds of crap goes on. And apart from tweeting and posting to Facebook, you feel kind of mute. And let's face it, I missed you guys. Now, granted, there are people out there who didn't miss you guys. Andy, out in California, didn't miss you guys. He says, the callers you have are much too sycophantic and sympathetic to your opinions. They are afraid to offend you. You got that? Yeah, you damn sycophants. How dare you? Nah, that rolled in about a quarter to six. This note from Andy, who just now got around to listening to the program from December the 15th, in which we were talking about, and Andy apparently entirely missed the point, we were talking about the 22nd Amendment. And the fact that several of us share the notion that it is the most anti-democratic amendment in the Constitution of the United States. And somewhere along the way, I apparently said, although I do not remember specifically, I mean, I don't have a rolling script of everything I've ever, no, I don't. And I don't run back, just, you know, my ego's not big enough to run back and listen to the archives and go, God, I'm good. I don't do that. Andy, though, says, I got a kick out of your musings about Mr. Obama possibly getting a third term. There are no musings about him possibly getting a third term. It was impossible. It was too much for me to even vote for or support him for a second term. Andy didn't vote for Barack Obama in 2012. Barack Obama wasn't sufficiently ideologically pure. I think from now on we're going to use the reverb for this. Neoliberal policies, and we're going to do that because neoliberal is another one of those words that's had all the meaning sucked out of it. Now it just means whatever it is some Jill Stein voter doesn't like or right. But anyway. His neoliberal policies failed the 99%. Remember, this was the guy that rolled up the Occupy movement. You know, he did that all by himself with his little hatchet. All by himself. Barack Obama did that. Let's not forget his middle finger given to the left and his support of neoliberal candidates. I'm trying to remember that particular photograph. Where he had that middle finger just held up and pointed out to the... Oh, well, doesn't matter. If I can't remember it, I'm sure it exists somewhere. If nothing but in the fervid imaginings of the Purity Brigade. Let's not forget his middle finger given to the left in his support of neoliberal candidates: Murphy, Florida; Bennett, Colorado; Lieberman, Connecticut; Specter, PA; and Lincoln in Arkansas. In 8 years, Mr. Obama stunk up the field. You did not move us forward by demanding change in the president, but instead consistently apologized for him. You were his greatest apologist. And this is what I get on the day I'm coming back from being out for, you know. Yeah. Really. Me. Little old Bob. The Barack Obama's greatest apologist. No one more apologistical than me. Me. Little old me. Greatest apologist. None greater. But this is the kind of stuff you get from the, you know, from the Purity Brigade. Since the Democratic primaries, Andy continues, ended, your show has become impossible to listen to. The apologist for failed Democrats and their policies, your attacks on opposing views, and your promotion of unsubstantiated propaganda has rendered your program in the category of insane. Yeah, let's see. What's that again? What have we been doing? Apologist for failed Democrats and their policies. You know, you'd think that I never, ever, ever criticized Barack Obama or any Democrats screwing up. Even though there's a 10-year archive of me doing exactly that. This is a classic case of somebody hearing what they want to hear, especially if they've predetermined that someone is not ideologically pure enough. And then has rendered your program in the category of insane without merit. The callers you have are much too sycophantic and sympathetic to your opinions. All right, y'all, quit being so damn sycophantic and sympathetic, will ya? Does Andy go out there and round up the Sparkle Heart powered unicorn cavalry Purity Brigade to call in? No, he just bitches, and that's mostly what the Sparkle Heart powered unicorn cavalry Purity Brigade does. But anyway. They are afraid to offend you. Since when?
Oh, Andy, I offend him all the time. What are you talking about? I bust his chops. He talks about Joe Manchin constantly. He's a Democrat. Lighten up.
Thanks, baby.
You're welcome.
You're much too sympathetic and sycophantic, damn it! Any positive virtues of you program are wiped out by the unsubstantiated partisan propaganda and ad hominem attacks on listeners and journalists that disagree with you. Where? Yours is not a voice of reason or free speech. It is a partisan program of inane opinions. Now, on the other hand, if I was sitting here screaming, Jill can win! No, really, Jill can win! We've got to build a third party, even though third parties can't exist in the United States under our constitutional form of government, we got to have a third party! I would be getting an email from Andy telling me that I was the neatest thing since sliced motherfucking bread. Asa says, stop telling us how to conduct our phone calls, Bob! Stop telling us how to sycophant. God damn it, where is it? Let's So all out there, those of you who email and stuff, your opinions are not sufficiently ideologically pure to suit Andy. You got a long way to go. You're way too sympathetic and sycophantic. Yeah, or maybe, and I mean, I'm not saying this for a certainty, maybe Andy's just being a jackass. Oh, there's those ad hominem attacks again! Because, see, I was there in one of the very first protests, an early protest, a complete rethinking of protest. Against who? No, not George W. Bush. Against Barack Obama. I was there for Appalachia Rising in 2011 when a whole bunch of hillbillies stood up and said, hey, you got to do something about these coal companies that are poisoning us. Of course, he didn't. And I didn't make any bones about the fact that I disagreed with continuing to give the coal companies their way here. And I guess I'm insufficiently ideologically pure insofar as I am now committed to actually voting for Joe Manchin's Republican opponent in November 2018. Just to get rid of a goddamn dino like Joe. But I'm Barack Obama's greatest apologist. Got it. See, and there's more to this than just responding to a loopy email. This is why we can't have nice things. This right here. Because we can't get together to recognize how deadly dire the circumstances are. I mean, I read a post on Facebook earlier today saying, well, at least with Trump, people are finally going to wake up to the fact that, well, you know, it's the corporatists that rule America. Shit, who didn't know that? You knew it. I know it. But it also happens to be the nature of the world in which we live, and one has to acknowledge reality before one can challenge it. But oh well, I'm not pure enough. And we're not going to go anywhere in 18 or 20. We're not going to take the Senate in 2018. And I've explained why. Because there are 9 Senate seats up for grabs, and they are in Arizona, Utah, Wyoming, Nebraska, Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, and Tennessee, and Nevada. And the only one that's even marginally competitive is Nevada. So the Democrats are dead in the water in the Senate in 2018. This is a perfect storm. But I'm sure that too, is the fault of, you know, Barack Obama and his neoliberal policies. As long as we understand that neoliberal is anybody who ever brought Andy a cold cup of coffee. This is why we can't have nice things. Because when some of us realize that we are in an existential struggle, the sparkle fart powered unicorn cavalry purity brigade is out galloping through the goddamn daisies, hollering, Jill can win! And saying that anybody else who disagrees has been ponerized, goddammit! Well, as of yesterday evening, and it broke while I was trying to get on the air, We found out what the Republicans have in store for us vis-a-vis health care. Oh, wait, let me check some email here. I'll get there, I promise. Steve in New York, subject line, apologist? How many times has this guy actually listened to the program? A lot. He just listens kind of in extreme delay. And Steve says, by the way, stop telling us how to vote. Sincerely, Steve. And Steve says, by the way, I know I've offended you many times. No, you haven't. You're far too sympathetic and sycophantic, Steve, and goddamn you damned well know it. From Michael in Madison, Bob Kincaid, Barack Obama's greatest apologist, is absolutely beyond any shadow of a doubt the most hyperbolic statement in the history of English language word saying. Well, at least since Dr. Ben Carson said slaves worked for less. Michael, I realize. I mean, I'm up against some pretty serious competition. Try to avoid using the word stiff. Sleepy Ben, Jesus Christ. Some immigrants came over in the bottom of slave ships and worked for less. But they, too, dreamed of a time when their sons and grandsons. You notice there were no granddaughters in that speech? Oops! Yep. I mean, I guess it's math. We all know mathematical is not my thing. But if you were to make a Venn diagram, is working for nothing included in the larger subset of working for less? I mean, less is less than something, hence the mathematical symbols. But zero is its own animal, isn't it? Yeah, oh well. Yeah. Arnold, and I'm going to try to fill in the blank. I'm going to try to fill in Arnold's blanks because he used a lot of asterisks. Arnold says, fuck the Green Party. This is the thing. This is a real thing. These fucking people act like we all loved all Obama. Fuck this. The motherfuckers that voted Green Party are why we have this fuckhead in the office now. Fuck them and the horse they fucking rode in on. Well, I don't think there's any room for... I think we all know how Arnold feels. Yeah, Marty says, I remember you and Sandra having rather fun conversations taking apart Obama for things he did or didn't do. Well, hell, I'm the one who created the Department of the cabinet-level position of Jesus, Barack! And I'm hoping that maybe he moved out of the White House with him, because if anybody ever needed to file a lawsuit against Donald J. Trump, who is a sewer in his own right, Obama's probably got a pretty good cause of action. You know, private citizen, slander, libel. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Keith says, I've not heard apologies for Obama coming for you. If Andy doesn't like what he hears, there's a button on the machine in which he listens that says off. Andy, use it. Thank you, Bob. Signed, one of the sick of ants. That's S-I-C-K of ants. Keith. Jack in Shreveport, subject line, neoliberal, says, I'm glad you mentioned that the term neoliberal has been getting effed up these days. Only in the past few weeks have I started seeing tweets where the word didn't seem to fit the context of the tweet or the leanings of the tweeter. Do you know if the right wing has intentionally been effing up the term? No, it's not the right wing, Jack. It's ostensibly our side, you know, the folks who make it so we can't have nice things. They throw around the word neoliberal to say things that they don't mean to say. Again, if somebody brings Jill Stein a cold cup of coffee, that person becomes automatically a neoliberal. Neoliberal is a word that has a specific meaning. I saw the other day a remark where every Democrat in the United States was referred to as a neoliberal. Well, I'm not one. And, you know, Andy seems to forget that I was quite vociferous in my support for Bernie Sanders until he lost, and then I did the right thing, I did the smart thing, I did the intelligent thing, and tried to protect our country against the onslaught of a goddamn madman. And if there's still any doubt whatsoever that he's a madman, then there ain't no helping you. And I realize, and apparently Andy's a member of that little club that thinks that Big Bad Vladdy Daddy is just all cuddly and sweet and loving and wouldn't hurt a fly, although he'd kill the occasional journalist or homosexual. Yeah. But no, it's not the right that's screwed up neoliberal, Jack. It's the purity left. Under the subject line, may I say something? Ron in Raleigh writes, damn sycophant, Ron. Quit being so sympathetic. A couple of things. Andy can fuck off. Andy can stop listening. We call President Obama president not sure. We've excoriated the president when he tried to foist chain CPI on us. I argue with the right-wing yahoos I work with every day. I listen to Bob because his ideas closely align with mine. Not all of his ideas, but most of them. I don't need to argue with him as well. Once again, I reiterate, Andy can fuck off. See, Ron would never say that if he wasn't too sympathetic and sycophantic. Oh, I'm sure he has. Asa asks, one wonders if Andy ever heard one of J. Cruz and sycophantic calls into your program. Yeah. John points out, under the subject line, Obama's legacy, Obama's greatest failure problem was the historical fact of being the first black man in the presidency. He was hamstrung by the fact that if he pushed too hard for anything, he would be damned as an angry black man. Oh, he was damned even when he didn't get angry. But, God damn it, he's neoliberal! He wasn't pure enough. And understand that purity is an arbitrary term that is determined only by members of the Sparkle Fart Powered Unicorn Cavalry Purity Brigade. Nobody else can do that. Which is why we can't have nice things. Yeah, here, that was December 15th. Let me say something on March 7th. God damn, I wish Barack Obama was still the President of the United States. Jesus Christ, I do. And here, let me throw this one in for good measure. If this program is not a show, I'm not here to entertain anybody. If this program's going to be insane, then let me add this. I would give, with Agnes's permission, my left nut to have Hillary Clinton be the president of the United States right now. You know why? Because this latest little escapade episode, set piece that the Congress is presently going through, whereby they're saying that they have finally come up with the ACA, Affordable Care Hootenanny Act, or whatever it is. Ake was already taken, see? Yeah, we did that. Turning Medicaid into block grants to the states, which is just a way to hand out great big loads of money to Republican governors who won't use it for health care in the first fucking place. and which will not keep up with health care costs because it's just a lump of money. Gutting the individual mandate. Getting rid of the vast majority of the things that made the Affordable Care Act, Affordable Care and Patient Protection Act, work better than any other attempt to provide health care to American citizens ever has, you know, short of Medicare and the VA, which are universal single-payer systems. Yeah. We would at least know with the devil sitting in the Oval Office that whatever crayon scrawls these weird sick freaks in the Congress set up to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue would be promptly vetoed, and we would know that the little bastards didn't have the votes to override it. So yeah, I wish to God Hillary Clinton was president of the United States of America. Which I'm sure it just sets in stone the fact that I am nowhere near ideologically pure enough to call myself a progressive. Yeah. Clarence writes in, subject line Andy. Bob, I will never understand Andy and folks like him. Why do they continue to listen to information that does not suit their perspective? The constant critique of a talk show host and audience is not the way to advance your way of how things should be. Come on, Andy, stop the complaining and get active in your community to make change. Well, you know, Andy is active. Andy participates. And I won't take that away from Andy. But I'm not going to sit here and pretend that hollering for ideological purity is going to get us anywhere but beat. Going back to Arnold's message. Marty says, I'm not certain about Arnold. How does he really feel? Tracy points out, getting back to Ben Carson for a minute, and Andy a minute ago said, Arnold a minute ago said, oh yeah, I forgot, fuck Ben Carson too. Tracy says, subject line, payday. A payday for a slave was a day when you weren't raped, beaten, had clothes, worked to death, your family sold away from you, or you actually ate. Is that what Uncle Ben meant by working for less? I guess. I mean, we'd have to ask him. And of course, he backtracked and issued a statement saying, well, of course they were slaves. In his ever so sleepy way. I mean, there they were, happy in Africa until they decided to emigrate away from building pyramidal grain silos for the pharaohs and emigrate to the New World. Yeah. Note coming in from Steve, another member of the fraternity of Steve. Subject line, listener mail. Andy makes a valid point. We are insane without merit. Did I hear that right? Yes, you did. In the interest of promoting insanity with merit, I hereby nominate Andy for an honorary order of psychofantery. Psychofantery, not sycophantery, psychofantery. First class, of course. Welcome, Black Bob. Thank you, Steve. Thank you very kindly. It's good to be back. It's very good to be back. because this, despite being accused of insanity, I must admit that this is good for mine, our conversations. Steve, another member of the fraternity of Steve, this one in New York, says, I admit I was not a fan of Obama in many ways. I think he was a corporatist and too accommodating. However, Bob, I will fully acknowledge that I have health care because of Obamacare. It's not perfect. It's too incremental. But I have health care because of it, and I would not have health care without it. I can give you a litany of things I vehemently disagreed with and didn't like about his policies, but particularly given what we've had over the past 36 years since Reagan, he might as well be St. Peter himself. Sycophant. You guys got to work on this sycophancy and this sympathy and this Obama apologizing. I mean, don't you realize that we're all so much better off now that Comrade Kumquat is in the White House and that there's nothing, absolutely nothing to these allegations about Russia or Jeff Sessions lying like a fucking rug or, you know, Michael Flynn lying like a rug or Carter Page or Jared Kushner or, you know, or the fact that, you know, because this made me a little nuts. What the fuck? I'm sorry, throwing the word around. Hope I'm not pissing anybody off. Whose brilliant idea was it over at the Heritage Foundation to invite the Russian ambassador to the Republican National Convention? I mean, did the Democrats do the same thing in Philadelphia? Huh? No? And meanwhile, we all get up, what was it? It all runs together now. Was it Saturday or Sunday that we all got up and found out that the tangerine Tiberius had declared, not surmised, not wondered, not speculated, but declared as pure fact that Barack Obama had tapped his phones. He spelled tap, T-A-P-P. Said it outright. And based it on an article published on that website that rhymes with light and fart, whose former editor is the guy who daily whispers in the Clementine Caligula's hairy septuagenarian ear. Somewhere in a different time zone, I just put someone off supper. Sorry. And there's nothing to be done about it. Bless his heart, Charles M. Blow, who is writing some pretty strong words these days, called in the pages of the New York Times for a pause in the presidency. And I read his words, and they made sense, and he was talking about all the things that are wrong and going wrong and getting wronger. And then he demanded a pause in the presidency, which, bless his heart, is where he lost me. Because he's a very, very smart man. So I ran off and reread the Constitution. And I couldn't find pause the presidency anywhere in it. You got the 25th Amendment and you got impeachment. And you've got succession. There's no pausing. Although it is interesting, apparently it didn't amount to a flame war or anything. But Jeffrey Toobin, the CNN legal analyst, declared that there is nothing wrong with the President of the United States putting out absolute, unmitigated bullshit over Twitter. And that while we might not like it, there's nothing wrong with it. This occasioned a response from the foremost scholar of the Constitution of the United States presently alive. I mean, this is a guy who could sit down and have a meaningful conversation with zombie James Madison. I'm talking about Lawrence Tribe up at Harvard. And he said, oh yes, lying like he lied about Barack Obama tapping his phones is an impeachable offense. I think it would probably require a little bit more analysis, but I'm certainly willing to give Professor Tribe a hearing. High crimes and misdemeanors. Treason, high crimes and misdemeanors. And so, I guess that stirred up the impeachment wishful thinking again. I mean, you just saw them come out with their fuck America healthcare plan that's nothing more than a thinly veiled tax cut for their plutocrat buddies. Right? Yeah. Well, that's just healthcare. And turning Medicaid into block grants. That's only two boxes they want to check off. The big one's still to come. And that's Social Security. And if there were to be any kind of an impeachment effort, it would grind the rest of the House's business to a screeching halt. And they're so close. They are so close they can taste it. They can finally kill off that commie Social Security. Oh, don't worry, if you're already getting Social Security, they're not going to take it from you. You're just going to be the last to get it. They're going to take it from me and everybody younger than me. And they're going to tell us we can have a tax credit or a voucher. See, that's part of the health plan, too. There's going to be tax credits, damn it. Costs on average $10,000 to insure a human being in this country a year or more. But in their infinite largesse, the Republican majority is more than happy to provide a whopping $2,000 tax credit to you and me and everybody. Well, everybody except the people who don't make enough money for a $2,000 tax credit to goddamn matter. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you get Jason Chaffetz out of Utah, who says that if the poors would just stop buying all those damned iPhones, they could afford health care. Hint. You pay for health care every month. You buy an iPhone once. but it's kind of like Louis Asparagus Gohmert and his mythological welfare queen with the basket full of king crab legs, while the hard-working Republican Texan behind her sits there with a grocery cart full of hamburger helper and beans and rice and can't afford no crab legs. It's entirely imaginary. But it is so much fun if you're a Republican to shit all over the poor. It's probably more fun than stealing from the collection plate. Mm-hmm. Oh, but don't worry. Don't worry, because lest you get yourself all worked up thinking about Jeff Sessions lying to the under oath to the Senate of the United States and then lying again in writing, lest you get yourself all worked up about the fact that the president is crazier than a sprayed roach at a decon party, if you're a Sparkle Fart powered member of the Unicorn Cavalry Purity Brigade, you can be out there screeching, WikiLeaks, 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 Julian Assange, oh my God, the CIA. And forget that the people of the United States of America are in the midst of an existential crisis that ain't got a damn thing to do with the NSA, the CIA, the FBI, or anything else. But again, that's why we can't have nice things. Because we can't focus. We have the political equivalent on the so-called left of something approaching near terminal attention deficit disorder. In their stupid little bill, the Republican Party essentially announced their plan to kill 38 million Americans. But portions of our side are going to continue to persist and insist upon arguing issues of ideological purity and screaming at Tom Perez, God damn it! DNC, Jesus, God, and that's why we won't have nice things. I mean, there's you miss 5 days of broadcasting, and there is so much to talk about. Under the subject line, healthcare, John writes in and says, the removal of the employer tax credit will destroy employee health benefits. Well, that's one of the things that will, yep. Under the subject line, it's math, Andy. James writes, I would possibly, not definitely, agree with Andy's choice for president. That's possibly 2 votes. And there's one guy who wishes Barack Obama had been able to do things differently. But it will blow your tiny mind who that guy is, Andy. It's Barack Obama. Again, Andy, it's math. Oh, yeah, and while I'm sure I could go along with Jill on a lot of things, but Vladimir would chew her up and, Vlad, and spit her out. She'd be less effective against him than would Drumpf. Let that roll around up there for a while, Andy. Randy says, I don't get it because Snowden says that everyone's phone is tapped. And it probably is. You know, what really upset the apple cart on that story was the fact that they said that the CIA had found a way around things like Signal and WhatsApp and some of the other encrypted encrypted applications. Well, you know how they found a way around it? They found a way to keylog messages before they were sent. In other words, gather the keystrokes before. So they didn't actually find a way around the encryption, if I understand correctly. They found a way to monitor things that were being typed before they got sent. Mm-hmm. It is. Maybe there are people out there screaming, "Oh my Jesus!" about it. I'm not one of them. I'm screaming, "Oh my Jesus!" about 38 million dead Americans, of whom, for all I know, I may be one, or one of you, or a lot of you, or all of us, or some of us. And there's a great deal of emotional investment among us. And I don't want it to happen to anybody. Hell! The xenophobic, bigoted, misogynistic, racist Franz Kohl here in West Virginia, who went out to vote for Trump because he's going to bring back the Kohl, they're going to lose their access to black lung. And that's going to be their reward for making America great again. And you know what? I don't want it to happen to them either. But I'm sure there's something insufficiently ideologically pure about all that. Oh, my God. Let's go over here and check in with Didn't Get Blown Away in the Tornado, Carol Baker. Hey, Carol.
Move the fuck over and make room for me on the ledge.
There's plenty of room out here. A little windy.
Yeah. Not as windy as here.
Yeah. God almighty. That had to be a little scary last night.
Actually, there's something about where my house sits down in this little holler that kind of keeps me safe. I've seen water spouts out on the lake. I've seen all kinds of things. I've had 3 tornadoes come within a couple of miles of here, and we never get hit. I didn't lose so much as a shingle.
But other places were not so fortunate.
Places 3 miles from here were flattened.
I guess the world did end over Odessa, Missouri last night.
Just about. The tornado was right over me. And it just skipped. It just jumped right over. They do that.
Oh, from little hilltop to little hilltop? Seen it happen myself.
Oh, happens all the time.
But you also, I love the story you told earlier about the tornado warning siren.
That was, so. Yeah, let me tell you, we never had a tornado siren here, ever. And, which is kind of a stupid thing when you live in Tornado Alley. And a few years back, there was a kid that was trying to get his Eagle Scout, and his project was to build a tornado siren for the T-Billy Heathens here in my little Hooterville. His folks had a place out on the lake, and they would come down every summer and spend the weekends, and he wanted us to have a tornado siren, and he figured out a way to get us one, raised all the money for it, found the guys to install it, and got that sucker put up.
And lives were probably saved as a result.
Absolutely, because I'll tell you, there were people who did get hit last night who could hear our tornado siren here in Hooterville.
And took shelter. Yeah, what kind of grabbed me was the fact that Hooterville apparently didn't deserve, under the fiscal conservatism of GOP controlled Missouri. Hooterville didn't deserve a siren.
No, they decided that there was one over in Odessa. That was close enough. Didn't matter that if the wind was blowing the other way, we couldn't hear it.
I do have to ask one critical question, Carol.
Sure.
What is the status of the Ballerina Swan Lake Mobile Home Park Trailer Court and Country Club?
Tank Purdy over there. It's a little less country clubbish today. I took the scenic route to work this morning to see exactly how much work I was going to have to do. Bait City got hit pretty bad. Mostly it was roofs there, which I could handle. But just 3 more miles down the road in Oak Grove was where the shit really hit the fan. And I mean, this, you know, there were people talking about, oh, it was just sheer winds, straight line winds, microburst, horse shit. Those things don't take a path. You could drive the path of where this thing went through. Houses collapsed. They called search and rescue in from Lee's Summit and Kansas City Fire Department to go door to door to try and find everybody.
Jesus. Well, another thing I noticed coming out of your magnificent Democratic laboratory.
Yeah.
I had no idea of this, and these two stories kind of dovetail. I had no idea that Missouri doesn't bother to count overdose deaths.
Well, especially in my neighborhood.
But in noting that they don't, you had some Republican lawmaker declare, "Nah, they ain't worth counting. They're just removing themselves from the gene pool."
I thought that was the Republicans' job.
Oh, my God. It...
Isn't that their job, to thin the herd?
Well, I mean, so that's what they're doing now with the health care bill, right?
Well, yeah, because the poor is such a drag on society.
Oh, my God. Well, on the other side of that coin is the fact that for all of our faults, West Virginia maintains a burial fund for indigent people. I mean, it's...
We ain't got that here.
No, we're one of very few states that do it. We may be the only one. And it's because of the volume of poor people who have a way of up and dying without any means of getting into the dirt or the oven, as the case may be.
Yep.
And it runs around $1,200.
Yeah, which, about right.
Which, you know, will at least get you a cardboard box and a match and a safe place to burn. Well, it turns out that our burial fund is broke for the first time ever.
Huh.
And you know why it's broke?
Because too many of the poors is dying?
because too many ODs.
Oh. You mean they count them there?
Yeah, we do. We do.
Oh.
Well, I mean, we don't, but we do. If you talk, the Gazette had the story today, and if you reach out to funeral directors around the state who used to be called undertakers or morticians, they'll tell you that most of the burial fund money has lately gone to ODs, who are young people, whose lives have just been snuffed out and wasted. Because money, because capitalism, because profit, because the drug wholesalers and manufacturers pumped enough oxycodone into this state for every man, woman, and child in this state to have 403 of them.
Stop telling people how to die, Bob.
I know. I know. It's a pisser, isn't it?
By the way, did Andy call me a psychopath, an overweight liberal?
I think, well,
it's all true.
It's all true. No, you're too sympathetic and too much of a sycophant.
That's not true. I've told you to fuck up plenty of times.
Abso-damn-lutely. And that was in your milder moments.
That was when I was in a good mood.
Exactly. So, that's just one. I'm not going. I got another one that's almost just like it. Another member of the Sparkle Fart Powered Unicorn Cavalry Purity Brigade.
Oh, do tell.
No, it's not worth it. It's really not. But I thought of you when I said a little bit ago that this is why we can't have nice things.
I get told that a lot.
Well, I mean, I wasn't blaming you. It's just I've heard you use the phrase
a lot. Yeah, I vote. You know, and that's why we're never going to get out of this hole until people get their head out of their ass. The hilarion scream that it's all us Bernie supporters' fault because we didn't you know, get down on our knees and just coronate, you know, a new vagina in chief because it is her turn. And then it was the greenies' fault, and then it was the millennials' fault. And I mean, if you just weren't flat out for Hillary, then it's all your fault. Then the greenies say it's Bernie's fault and it's Hillary's fault. And the Bernie supporters, well, the ones in my camp, are sitting there saying it's because enough people didn't show up, which kind of really is the truth.
Well, that's where I keep finding myself, you know, because there's a lot of energy and money, frankly, going into trying to figure out why Trumpansies voted the way Trumpansies voted. Mm-hmm. And but that'll only take you so far, Carol. Because, I mean, everybody knows I've got a fairly jaundiced view of this. I think Trumpansies voted the way the Trumpansies voted, primarily because, Van Jones said it before he declared how presidential, oh my God, Trump
which
was.
Which made me want to vomit.
Vomit, yeah. But, you know, he called it white lash. And so the Trumpansies voted for Trump, and they used the economic insecurity as a fig leaf to cover up their racism and their misogyny and their xenophobia and their bigotry. And so if I'm correct, Carol, you're not going to get too far down the road trying to convince those people that they need to see the cool light of reason and get with the program.
Come on, Bob. For years, the churches have been taken over. You know, the Christian right has convinced these white people that, you know, God loves them better. And the white nationalists have certainly had their forum. And America has been so dumbed down, you know, when the morons and the booger eaters can keep their kids out of public schools and homeschool them and teach them virtually nothing. You get a generation of morons who are out there in the world who don't know shit, who have no concept of any historical references to anything that we're talking about. They think we just make it up because, you know, mama didn't teach them at home. And then you have this systematic push to make everybody afraid of everybody who is white. You have voter suppression. I mean, they've been very good at what they've done. Very good at what they've done. And so here are those of us with some historical literacy. And I've been trashed for using that phrase, but it's true. We are historically literate, and we understand the references to Hitler and to what happened in the 50s and the civil rights movement and everything else. We think that people should have a right to vote so that we have a representative government. I mean, am I falling off the track here anywhere? Or
No. You're right there. And I was simply going to extrapolate it to say, instead of wasting any more time on the Trumpanzees, why don't we try to find out about the 48% who stayed the hell home?
Exactly. Who are they and why did they stay home? I've heard millennials say, well, you know, we're so broke. And I'm like, really, does voting cost you anything? Voting doesn't cost you a fucking thing. So I dismiss it.
Well, yeah. But I mean, there's got to be a reason. And I'd kind of like to know what that reason is.
I think a lot of the reason, Bob, is that you and I grew up at a time where we knew that if we voted, that we could enact real change, that we could vote people into office. And this was at a time when, you know, people who ran for public office did it because they wanted to make the world a better place. And with the advent of Citizens United and the Birchers and the Booger Eaters and the Baggers and, you know, the knuckle-dragging Christians, you've got a lot of people out there who don't really understand that they don't have any reference, Bob, to when there was a time when it made a difference. And we do. And we still believe that that time could come again. They're not old enough to remember that, you know, there was a time when black people couldn't drink out of the same water fountain, or white or black people couldn't get married. And it makes a difference, I think, when you've lived through some of that. And I'm frightened now because I feel myself circling the drain. And I'm thinking, who is going to be out there to understand that voting really can make a difference? Because we wouldn't be having this conversation if they'd gotten off their asses and gone to vote. And that takes all the Bernie supporters out of the equation. It takes all of the Greenies out of the equation. We're talking about people who stayed home.
Right. And you know, it's statistically impossible that they would have all come out and done the right thing. I'm sure some of them would have wandered off into the weeds and voted for Jilly Jill Jill. I'm sure some of them would have voted for the Orange Menace.
Right.
But they didn't at all. I mean,
my bet is that most of them, that we would have had a majority if they had not stayed home.
There we go. But they did. And it would be good, you know, like, say, maybe before 2018 to figure out why. Because 2018 is the next question. And
correct.
And I've got a case of the turtle squirts over just exactly what's going to happen in 2018.
Well,
traditionally, sitting presidents don't do well in their first midterm election, or the party of the sitting president.
Correct.
I think all bets are off. I mean,
I think they are too.
And you know, it's not some evil, wait a minute,
neoliberal
plot that makes the Senate election look the way it does. It just breaks out this way. But there's no way the Democrats take the Senate in 2018. It is mathematically impossible. A Democrat is not going to beat Luther Strange, that's his name, for Senate in Alabama.
Nope.
A Democrat is not going to beat whoever it is in Mississippi Stan. Corker is going to remain firmly ensconced in Tennistan. The same goes for Nebraska. The same goes for, I mean, really? Okay. Is it like remotely possible that they could scrounge up a viable Democratic candidate to run against Ted Cruz, the most disliked man in the entire Republican Party.
How much money is the DNC going to put into that candidate?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
So that takes us to Arizona. No. Wyoming. No. Nebraska. No.
No.
And then with Heller in Nevada, maybe, just maybe, there's an outside chance of replacing his ass.
Mm-hmm. Which racks us up to what, eight losses?
Yeah, that's eight incumbents staying in office and one losing. Which would take us, if all the Democrats and Angus King and Bernie Sanders all win, that would take us to 47 Republican or 47 members of the minority and 53 members of the majority.
And it's what we're going to have.
Well, I mean, I'm going to do my dead level best to make sure it's 46, because hate me if you must, I'm voting for the Republican who runs against Joe Manchin.
Oh, fuck off, Bob.
No, really?
Sorry, I just wanted that out there so that it could get played back.
Okay, okay. you just lost your sycophant virginity, I guess.
Oh, fuck you.
Okay, there went the sympathetic virginity. but seriously, I'm doing that because it's the only way to be free of that man.
I know.
And there's so much more at stake. Joe Manchin in office for another 6 years means that the West Virginia Democratic Party just dies.
Exactly.
And the progressive platform that we put together just dies.
I know.
You know, meanwhile, Shelley Moore Capito, the other senator, she's a Republican who admits it, daughter of the single most corrupt man ever to be governor of the state of West Virginia. Looks like her daddy wearing a bad wig.
Yeah, I've seen her.
She said she absolutely will not vote for no health care bill what don't protect the Medicaid expansion. Well, guess what? Ostensibly, the Medicaid expansion is protected by this Republican bill, except for the block grant part. It doesn't change the eligibility requirements. It just changes the amount of money that can go to insure people.
Yep. And we all know what happens with block grants. They go to the states, and the governors use them to pack in the shortfall for their tax cuts.
Well, right. Or they just use them on other stuff. I mean, yeah, I'm reminded of the TANF block grants that went to Louisiana, and less than 10% of the TANF block grant actually got used to give money to any poors.
I told you they're a drag on society. Wait, that's us.
That would be us.
I keep forgetting.
I know. Happens.
I know.
So,
and in the meantime, I've got a friend in Virginia.
You've got a friend?
Who, I believe it or not, I have one friend.
Pay her well?
She lives. Huh?
Pay her well?
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact. I have to.
I'm sorry. That was just, that I had to.
No, I have to, because she's losing, she knows that she's going to lose her Obamacare. She has a heart condition, and they found out that she's got an aortic aneurysm. She can't work. Of course, trying to get on disability takes forever. She can't even buy groceries. She's so stressed out, she can't even function. So I've been sending her $250 every paycheck so she can at least buy food. Which is probably why you haven't been getting quite as much from me as I would have liked to, but you know, I'm trying to keep.
I prefer people eating food. I mean, that's why I offered up the thanks that I offered up at the beginning of the program here, because we would have been so far past screwed. The light from screwed wouldn't have found us for a million years if it weren't for, you know, a handful of folks and the and the subscribers at the start of the month.
I think I have five of those subscriptions are mine, and I think they hit tomorrow.
Do they? Oh my God.
I think so.
Oh, I do have an update. This will warm the cockles of your heart.
Hey, stop swearing.
I know. I'm trying to be sycophantic here. Shirley's challenge was on the table this evening, and I'm happy to announce that it has been met.
How awesome.
And Ralph's put a challenge on the table, and I'm happy to announce that it has been met.
Hot damn.
And so thanks go out to Bill in Florida and to Steve and Karen and Cletus and little Cletus. Cletus is a good puppy.
Such a cool girl.
She's a very good girl. Yes, she is. Thanks also going out to Don, who wrote in because Andy's being mean to you. Thank you, Don. As well as to as well as to Kitty in Boston, who said, "So happy to have you back on the air. Glad you and yours are okay. Sucks to be hornless. Hugs from Boston. P.S. Fuck Andy." You guys. Jack in Shreveport, thank you. And again, thank you to Asa in far Vancouver Stan, or far Canada. I'm sorry, communist.
Come on, Cypher. What are we down to?
So that takes us to $515 to get all the way caught up.
Hot damn.
And that could get really exciting real quick.
Okay, I've been very careful with my money. So
didn't get blowed out from under the mattress last night?
It did not. Thank you very much, since Cat Stevens was holding it down so it wouldn't float out. So I'm gonna offer up a $50 Andy, stop being mean to Bob challenge.
Well, if you want to, I didn't read the other email, but you can make that Andy and Todd. But go ahead. Yeah.
Andy and Todd, piss off. Signed, the psychopath.
All right, so that'll take us down to what did I say a minute ago? 515? Yeah, 515. That'll take us down to 415 to go. So thank you, Carol. Thank you very, very kindly.
There you go.
I had a question coming from Jen. Jen, by the way, Jen has made it back home to Australia.
Hey, Jen.
After her mission of mercy. She said, now all I have to do is get used to this heat. It is high climate change summer there. But she said, is there no scenario, none, not even if the Republicans completely and utterly strip we the peeps down to bare bones? Note, if I were starving, I'd probably allow a Republican to feed me. Is there absolutely no possibility of the reverse happening? No.
There's
absolutely no possibility in the Senate.
No.
And in the House, you're talking about an attempt to turn, 25, 26, maybe 30, just to be safe. You got to keep all the Democratic House Senates, and you got to flip 30 Republicans.
Right.
Okay. And as long as we've got the sparkle fart powered unicorn cavalry purity brigade riding around out here, that is a guaranteed not going to happen. And it's hard enough as it is, let's be clear. Because turning House seats, because House seats is especially hard, Senate races are state races.
Yeah.
But House seats are gerrymandered, voter-suppressed, individual districts.
That's right.
So say, let's say you had the best, most progressivist candidate in the whole wide, wonderful world running in the first district of Texas against Louis Gohmert. Oh, and did I? Oh, I did. I forgot to mention. Oops. I forgot to mention Citizens United. But it's gonna be damnably difficult to unseat any of these assholes, Because the thing is, the people who send the assholes to Congress, Carol, you know where I'm going, don't you?
I do.
Are assholes.
Yes, they are.
I mean, if you look at Steve King of Iowa, you know, it's not like some well-mannered granny in Cedar Rapids sent him. No, it's a bunch of assholes in fundamentalist churches who have been put in a gerrymandered district so that they can overwhelm decent, normal people.
Look, and all you have to do is look at where I live. It's 52 miles for me to drive from my house to the district office of my congressman when the teabagger is about 16 miles up the road in the very next town up to the east. And the reason they did that is because they're trying to dilute Emanuel Cleaver's hold on that district.
Right. Because Democrat, because
Emanuel
black.
Emanuel Cleaver is he's black, he's progressive, and he's
but
one
I'm,
of
but,
them,
but let's be clear. Let's be clear, Carol. I'm sure he's not progressive enough.
Hell, he isn't.
No. That's not possible. But,
you're right, because he encouraged people to vote for Hillary.
So see? God damn it, Hillary. Oh, what the? Goldman Sachs. Oh, Jesus Christ. DNC. Right.
Because you got to remember, Kansas City Metro is where, you know, we have bigots walking into bars looking at anybody who's darker than a brown paper bag, telling them to go back to Iraq when that's not where they're from.
Oh, all they're doing is telling in Kansas City because up in Washington State, they're killing them.
No, in Overland Park, he shot him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. I forget. Yeah. Olathe.
Or Olathe. It's right across the state line. It's probably 10 minutes from my office.
No, I've been through there many, many years ago. There's some part of Kansas City where you can drive through a neighborhood and one side's Kansas and the other side's Missouri.
I'm serious. When I go up to the bank, my GPS goes, welcome to Kansas. Welcome to Missouri. Welcome to Kansas. Welcome. It makes me laugh every time. Because she can't get the welcome to out before the next one comes. As you're driving down State Line Road, if you veer just a little too close to the center line.
Jesus. But yeah, I mean, so yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, they're shooting them in Olathe. And yes, yep. we had another shooting up in Washington State. And by the way, Dave Reichert, it was Mike in Cascadia who pointed this out to me, I think. Dave Reichert, who used to be the sheriff of King County up there, silent as a graven image.
Yep.
And on both counts, the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini, not a peep.
No.
But meanwhile, we get the new travel ban, the Muslim ban.
Right.
That only applies to countries where he's not doing business or trying to open hotels.
And where nobody from any of those countries has ever perpetrated a terrorist act in this country. Like I said earlier, I have not felt so safe since the Klingon Protection Act of 1967.
Klingons. Yeah.
There's your obligatory Star Trek reference.
Thank you very kindly. I had neglected it thus far, and you know, here we are at 26 minutes before the hour, and we've got it.
I'm a giver, goddammit.
You are, and you're a giver who is struggling. How long has your voice been gone, Carol?
A month. But listen, this is a great improvement, and I have a friend to thank for it because they sent me to urgent care and paid for it.
Wow.
And I got a breathing treatment that made all the difference in the world, and I got some medication that helped me to stop that incessant coughing.
Oh, well, was that those Teflon pearls?
Oh, man, this was just so bad. Yes, yes. And you know what? Them suckers work, but you got to be careful with them.
Yeah, because some people take them and lose their minds.
No, I took one.
But I think you're probably protected by your sycophancy.
And I figured I better take another one before I went to bed. And I'm telling you, my shoulder and my neck, I had such horrible pains in it. And I knew that's what it was from. And when it finally wore off, when the drug finally wore off, was when the pain in my neck and my shoulder finally stopped. And if it was, had it been on the other side, I'd have been convinced I was having a heart attack.
I, you know, between you with yours and me with my innards, we're quite the pair.
We are, but at least you can hear me now.
Well,
and
yeah.
It's the end of the day. I've probably taken 200 phone calls today. In the mornings, I sound better.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's right. You do a lot of phone work.
Oh, my God. I mean, half the town was flattened. You think they weren't calling my office for help?
And all of a sudden, they weren't too all fired, broke up who it was putting that roof back on.
Yeah, it was amazing. This woman had a down power line in her backyard, a tree through her roof, and she absolutely did not care. And I was like, honey, I'll get you a new roof, but I can't put a man on that roof with a down power line in your backyard. I can't have him climbing an aluminum ladder to get up on your roof.
No.
Because I really like these guys. And you know what? It was amazing. Not one person bitched that I couldn't put an English speaker on their roof today because they were more concerned with getting their roof fixed than having him write a fucking term paper.
Well, you know, absolutely, and the devil of it all is that, you know, until the shit hits the fan, it does matter.
Exactly.
And you know what? After things calm down, it'll matter again.
Of course it will. Of course it will. And she was a Trump supporter. Let me tell you, she made it known she was a Trump supporter. But she didn't mind calling the brown guys in to come fix it. And she admitted, she goes, you have the best reputation. And my realtor said that you could get me a new roof. And I said, I can.
And it'll be on faster than you can really imagine.
Yeah. And I said, but you got to get KCP&L out there. But, you know, when you got 103,000 people without power, it takes time.
Well, it does. I mean, we kind of learned that to our chagrin, and when I complain about Appalachian Power, I'm not complaining about the guys doing the grunt work, the heavy lifting.
Exactly.
It's dangerous work. It's valuable work. It's work that matters. But if you pull them aside, they'll tell you, no, we don't have half of what we need.
That's right.
You know, they've got right of ways that run up that run around through mountain forests, and the power company has the rights to come in and clear cut that shit for, you know, 30 feet on either side or some such.
Yep.
Do they do it? No. Because it's more important to give the emergency rate payer rate increase to the shareholders and the executives.
Exactly.
Because we wouldn't want the CEO of Appalachian Power to be going without Lark's Vomit Canapes.
That's exactly right. Well, yesterday when I got home, well, the wind had blown like 60 miles an hour all day. And I'd probably put 150 miles on the car trying to just get where I had to get yesterday to meet with customers and do what I had to do. And I was exhausted by the time I got home. And I came around the last corner before I made the turn to come back up to the lake. And there was a line of West Central Electric trucks. And I rolled down the window and I said, you boys performing miracles again? And he laughed. He goes, well, you're the first person who stopped that wasn't mad at us. And I said, I'm not mad at you. I said, I haven't been home all day. I don't care. And I probably went home 15 minutes before all the lights came back on. My router got fried, which is why I can't talk to you on the iPad, because I figured I finally, old lady, technologically stupid, figured out that if I unplugged the Ethernet cable from the router and just plugged it directly into the computer, I still didn't have phone or TV, but I've got internet.
Yeah, so. And I mean, that's like here. I mean, I'm using the emergency backup cellular wireless metered bandwidth, and I'm going to have the cell bill from hell as a result. But there was no way we couldn't get on the air. And, you know, when I called the tech support line for Frontier, I said, guys, my wire's in my yard. Yeah, the first thing the guy tried was, yeah, don't worry about that, Bob. There's no juice to it, so why don't you just pick that line? I said, No. No, really, there's no power on it. No. Do I look like a lineman? Do I sound like a lineman? Let me tell you.
Do I look like a Republican?
I'm a guy who knows better than to touch things I don't know about.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the power wasn't on, so we had no way of knowing, but yeah, that line is deader than Pharaoh's cat.
Yes.
So, and it being Frontier, God only knows how long it'll take to fix. I turned on the router. The two legs show hot. The power shows hot. But the little indicator for World Wide Web, no. Sorry. Forget it.
Well, it took a little engineering, but I figured out how to at least get online. I told the boss, I said, don't try calling me. Don't bother with the cell phone because it ain't going to reach where I'm at. I said, you're either going to have to email me or send a smoke signal. And he's just Mexican enough that he was like, what does that mean, smoke signal?
Oh, said, dear.
Oh, boss.
Yeah. And, you know, it's probably... I don't know. Did you try to explain?
Oh, I always do. I always do. He always tells me that he learns a lot from talking to me, which is frightening in and of itself.
Oh, God Almighty. Well, I hope we haven't put too much strain on your vocal cords this evening, Carol.
No, I wanted people to know I'm still alive. I don't sound that great, but God, I feel like $1 million. Okay, $49.95, but still, I'm much better.
And your sycophancy hasn't suffered at all.
Yeah, so I'm still a psychophant.
I have
not, however, been ponerized.
Oh, really? You know, you're lucky. Sometimes in power outages, people get real bad ponerized.
Well, not me. Not me.
I mean, our power went out, and I couldn't, and Agnes couldn't so much as ponerize a microwave dinner.
Well, I had my Cat Stevens cloaking device, so.
there you go. Oh, by the way, I wanted to mention something, you know, because, you know, our fur babies mean a lot to us.
Yes.
Agnes alerted me to something earlier.
Yes.
There's a trend in pet foods now. And you pay extra for it, you know, and it's no filler, grain free, hearty, healthy pet food, right? I mean, Jesus Christ, Rachel Ray has gotten into the business, right?
Yeah, I know.
And made with real EVOO. Well, there is a warning out. I guess we've still got enough of a government left to make warnings like that. But there's a group of pet foods, dog foods.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, you know, please tell your friends and neighbors. Remember when Chinese capitalism was killing off Fido and Fluffy and, right?
With melamine or whatever it was.
Yeah. Well, this is Evanger's braised beef chunks. Evanger's hunk of beef, dog food, and against the grain, grain-free pulled beef with gravy for dogs.
Yeah.
And, you know, the pictures on the cans make it look actually probably tastier than Dinty Moore beef stew.
It probably is.
The company is out of Illinois, however, not China.
Yeah.
And Evanger's Dog and Cat Food Company is pulling these 12-ounce cans because some of them have a euthanasia drug in them.
Holy hell. They should just change the name to The Last Supper.
You just do that shit on the fly and it floors me.
Sorry.
But really, I mean, why, Carol, can you help me here? Why does a dog food company have euthanasia drugs anywhere near its dog food preparation area?
Capitalism.
Because that affects the 13th decimal place of the executive bonus for the president of the company?
Well, to quote Bill Maher, that's not blood in your mouth, Tommy. That's the taste of freedom.
Exactly. So stay away from Evanger's pulled beef. And you know, for those of you, once the Republicans get done with it, with us, don't y'all eat it neither, okay?
Well, I finally had to break down and put sister on a science diet. I never liked lab food, but I don't have a choice. She's just getting old enough. She just, you know, they said these dogs would only live to be 8 years old. She's a Newfoundland. And she's 13 and a half. And she's got a very sensitive tummy all of a sudden. So we're trying to do everything we can to make her comfortable.
Aww.
She's not doing steps anymore. She can't do it. So Cat Steven stays in the house a lot more than he used to because he doesn't leave her.
Oh, that's so sweet.
He is. He's a good boy.
And he hasn't had much of a winter for going out ice fishing either, has he?
Listen, nobody loves to play Jesus Cat more than he does. And he only got to do it like once all winter.
Poor guy.
So.
Well, you have yourself a lovely evening. I hope the pipes keep getting better. And by the next time we talk, maybe you'll be back to full, magna voce.
What was it? Somebody said, "Oh, I can't wait to hear your dulcet tones," and I'm like, "You're barking up the wrong tree, honey."
But I tell you what, I'm awful glad to have had the company out here on the ledge.
Absolutely. Okay, now it's our monthly contest to see who can hit the Trump support. Are you ready?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Let me get one last puff in. Hold on.
Yeah, wait a minute. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because if they're too long, the wind will carry them away.
Don't I know it?
Yeah. Okay. Ready? One.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, I've got the one with the MAGA hat and the neon green Crocs. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. One.
And I get the one with the camo shorts on.
Oh, you can have him. I don't want him. And everything that goes with it. One. Two. Three. Oh!
Damn, we're good.
Oh, I tell you what, that MAGA hat went up like it was made out of Tannerite.
I know.
Flash paper.
And there's his wife next to him, polyester, trying to put him out.
Honey, don't get too close to the flames. You'll go up. All right, scrooch and scrunch back in.
All right.
Stay out of the tornadoes, Dorothy.
Yeah, I will, Toto.
Bye now.
Bye. Take care, Bob.
You too, Carol. The one and only, the irrepressible, Carol Baker. And by the way, yes, we've had two Cowbell nominations for The Last Supper by Evanger Pet Food, courtesy of Jen and Brother Deacon Gerald. So I think that's our first Cowbell of the evening, too. So, and thank you, Reggie. Thank you very kindly, Reggie. Reggie just went $10 toward Carol's $50 challenge. Thank you very kindly, Reggie. Jay Cruzen sending Carol hellos from Hooterville, North Carolina, to Hooterville, Missouri. I guess this gets Quip of the Night a nomination. Jack in Shreveport says, I was really impressed with Carol's immediate Last Supper quip, too. Absolutely. So like I said, when you miss five nights of broadcasting, you miss a lot. And the trouble arises in trying to sort out how far back to go, what to cover, and you know, because all this stuff has been talked about on any number of progressive broadcasts. You know, I think, no, we don't have to talk. We really don't have to talk about the speech anymore, do we? I didn't watch it. I swore that I was not going to, and I didn't. But I did read the transcript, which was disgusting enough. And the lowering of the bar of, you know, oh, wait, he didn't take his shoes off, peel off a big toenail, and start picking his teeth with it. My God, Donald Trump is presidential. It was enough to make me more than vomit. It was more like the dry heaves. It's like the for-profit media can't help themselves. They get out there and they talk a little tough, and then at the first opportunity, they wet themselves trying to make nicey nice with the guy who keeps putting his fist in their face. You know, riding the corpse of a dead seal like he did. And then, of course, the right-wing media turning, by God, what's wrong with those godless, miserable, sickening, unpatriotic Democrats? They didn't stand and clap. And it was straight out of Blazing Saddles. I didn't get a harumph out of those Democrats. They stood. They just didn't stand and stand and stand and then start playing with themselves in a fit of military masturbation. They clapped decorously and then sat down politely. Yeah. So it's about 7 minutes before the hour. And truth be told, I'm not in the best shape. I've still got considerable pain. I'm going for a CT scan of my abdomen tomorrow that I can't afford, being as how I no longer have health care coverage. We'll see what that says. It'll probably say, hey, there's a reason you hurt like you hurt. There's a reason you can't eat like you'd like to eat. But let's take a break and hopefully knock down the other $40 of Carol's challenge, which will take us down to only, $485 to go to get completely caught up? Thanks, everybody. This is listener-supported conversation radio. I'm tickled pink to be back, and, well, when I, the pink guy, am tickled pink, you may rest assured that we're really talking about pink. And coming up also, this being a Tuesday, the Green News Report with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn, and I'm Bob. Come on, play. Really? We're going to do it. There we go.
When this old world starts a-getting me down, and people are just too much for me to face, I'll climb way up to the top of the stairs, and all my cares just drift right into space. On the roof, it's peaceful as can be. And there the world below don't bother me. No, no. So when I come home feeling tired and weak, I'll go up where the air is fresh and sweet. I'll get far away from the hustle and crowd and all that rat race noise down in the street. On the roof, that's the only place I know. Look at the city, baby, where you just have to wish to make it so. Let's go up on the roof. At night the stars, they put on a show. Telling you that right smack dab in the middle of town, I found a paradise that's trouble-proof. And if this old world starts a-getting you down, there's room enough for two up on a roof. Thank you.
It's Tuesday, March 7, 2017.
My administration wants to work with members of both parties to promote clean air and clean water.
Trump promises clean air and water, but his budget promises the opposite. EPA rolls back methane reporting rules on behalf of the fossil fuel industry. Interior Department rolls back rules requiring the fossil fuel industry to pay taxpayers more in royalties. Wind energy capacity now equal to hydroelectric dam capacity in the United States. Plus, lead is back on the menu for hunters and anglers.
It's What's for Dinner. All of those stories and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
But America's still a great country. America, boy, you just need a break from science.
This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, the former Oklahoma Attorney General, enemy of the EPA, now the head of the EPA, Scott Pruitt, is wasting no time paying back his benefactors now that he's the head of the Environmental Protection Agency.
Yeah, that's right. The new EPA administrator, Scott Pruitt, has already granted his first favor to the oil and gas industry. He withdrew an Obama-era rule requiring oil and gas companies to report how much methane they're emitting when they extract oil and gas on public lands. Oil and gas drillers are the largest emitters of methane in the U.S. It's a potent greenhouse gas that causes air pollution and dangerous global warming. But hey, there's no need to worry about air quality now since no one will be measuring it.
And since America is great again.
Problem solved. The new Interior Secretary, Ryan Zinke, suspended a new rule requiring the fossil fuel industry to pay the public more in royalties for oil, gas, and coal extracted from the public's lands. Zinke also restored a loophole in federal coal leasing rules that has allowed coal companies to legally cheat taxpayers for decades. Closing that loophole would have increased royalty payments to the U.S. Treasury by an estimated $85 million a year. Interior Secretary Zinke also put lead back on the menu for those who hunt and fish.
Sounds delicious.
On his very first day, Zinke granted a request from the National Rifle Association to rescind a regulation banning the use of bullets containing lead on all federal lands in national parks and wildlife refuges. The lead bullets inadvertently kill other wildlife and can contaminate game eaten by hunters and their families.
So this could kill a lot of hunters.
Apparently.
And their families.
Yep.
There's the downside.
We now have more details on the drastic cuts the Trump administration is planning for federal science agencies. According to documents obtained by the Associated Press, the budget of the Environmental Protection Agency would be cut by 25%. Staff would be cut by 20%. Climate protection research would be cut by 70%. And the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative would be cut by 97%. That would impact the water supply of 8 states. Other regional water quality programs for heavily polluted areas like Chesapeake Bay, Puget Sound, and the Gulf of Mexico would also be cut as much as 90%. And it's even worse for the nation's beaches. The budget will be completely eliminating the EPA's water quality testing program for the beaches.
Wasn't it just a week ago when speaking to Congress that he promised to protect air and water?
He must have a different definition of what that means.
I'm starting to think Donald Trump doesn't always tell the truth.
In his first joint address to Congress, President Trump claimed that massive increases in military spending would spur innovation.
America has always been the country that boldly leads the world into the future. And my budget will ensure we do so and continue to do exactly that.
However, the proposed budget cuts to NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, would be the exact opposite of that. According to documents obtained by the Washington Post, NOAA would be cut by nearly 20%, along with our world-leading weather satellite program, which provides 90% of the nation's weather forecasting data. Critics are calling these cuts self-sabotage because NOAA's data is used in every economic sector, from agriculture to long-term business forecasting. The cuts to NOAA could not only hamper research, but also put American lives at risk.
Yeah, NOAA is actually a part of the Commerce Department. I had no idea. Why is that?
Because of its crucial nature to pretty much every single business sector in the United States.
I guess somebody forgot to tell Donald Trump about that?
Apparently. Finally, despite all that, a bit of good news. Wind energy capacity in the United States is now equal to that of hydroelectric dam capacity in the United States. That means that in the last 10 years, so many wind farms have been constructed that wind energy capacity can now equal that of hydroelectric dams.
That's good news.
And that's all I've got.
Especially since our dams are collapsing. Oy. At least the wind will work. For much more on all of those stories and the ones we couldn't get to, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget, you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us, follow us, and share us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Well, one day soon, that dam is gonna break, and it'll wash you away. It'll wash you away. Yeah, one day soon, that dam is gonna break.
Damn it, Brad and Desi, you made me wind up listening to the Comrade Kumquat after all. Black stag and not pull Prezalek and... Yeah, oh well. It is 6 minutes past the hour, the final hour of the program on this 7th day of March, 2017. Our joyous return to the air after a 5-day absence. And I want to send out thanks to Smitty. Thank you very kindly for jumping in on Carol's challenge. We've got $30 to go on that now. Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Smitty. And thank you, Reggie. For jumping in there. Let's run over to the Skype line and check in with Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Bob. How you feeling?
Been better, but I think I'll be okay.
I'm sorry to hear about your issues with Medicaid and all that other bullshit.
Well, it sucks.
And like you said, if this bullshit with the black grads go through it, like you said, Medicaid is essentially over. Now, with the block grants, is it a state-by-state thing?
A state will get a chunk of money, and that's all they get. And if they run out, too damn bad. Now, this is going to have a profound impact on rural hospitals, rural clinics. Like all the people down at the little clinic not too far from me, the ones who walk around, huh, that goddamn Obama and his Obamacare is ruining everything. Well, see, they have jobs because Obamacare provides the money for them to have jobs. Mm-hmm. They're not going to have jobs.
Right. See, this is...
And little rural hospitals are... little rural primary care hospitals are going to close. And it's going to be real. But, you know, at least we ain't got that Hillary.
Yeah. What is it? You know, shit's going to get real, real quick. We don't have Hillary. And, you know, what was it last week? There was that heated, I would say slightly ever so heated exchange in the chat room about, you know, protected by white privilege. And I, you know, got real pissed off. I wouldn't say pissy. No, I got pissed off because I was attacked because, you know, like you said earlier, because I said I voted for Hillary and I said that there are certain members of our family that are protected by their white male privilege, regardless of whether or not Trump became president. And, you know, these are the people who, because of their privilege and being white and male, will never have to worry about being pulled over because if they get pulled over by the cops, they just get asked for their driver's license and, you know, they get sent along their merry way. They don't have to worry about, you know, being killed or deported or coming back into the country or just getting off an airplane and asked if they're, you know, Muslim because their last name is Ali or an Indian last name or just because they don't look American. This is the kind of country we live in now.
Well, and it's going to, as we're seeing from what's being done to Jewish cemeteries, threats being made to a Jewish fraternity, bomb threats at Jewish community centers. All of, you know, there's a sort of equal opportunity viciousness that is sweeping this nation. That these Republicans have no interest in stopping. But let me backtrack. Let me backtrack for a minute, Tracy. Let me backtrack for a minute because I want to make mention of a couple of things. I don't want anybody to get all excited because four Republicans in the Senate have said they won't support the health care bill. Okay?
Just that's only four. Only four.
Rob Portman from Ohio, Shelley Moore Capito from West Virginia, some guy I think from Colorado, and there's one other one. And they all come from states that have accepted the Medicaid expansion. And they've said that they will not vote for a bill that does not protect the Medicaid expansion. I don't want anybody out there to think that that's going to afford any protection. Because all four of those, at a single glance from Mitch McConnell, will fold mm-hmm. like a cheap suit, Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll go through the Senate like through a goose. Because after all, Comrade Kumquat has said, "Oh, we're not done yet. We're gonna have really good health care. It's gonna be good." He can't even use great or beautiful or tremendous or fabulous. It's just gonna be good. And no, it does not look good. They will. You know what? Joe Manchin and Heidi Heitkamp are in the Democratic caucus in the Senate, and they will shiv and shank anybody if Trump tells them to. So I think it's important that we just kind of get our heads around that. There is hell a-coming. Oops, I lost Tracy for a minute. Oh, there you are. I was filibobstering away, but I didn't realize I'd lost you.
I don't know what happened. That was weird. I don't care who I piss off at this point because, like I said, you know, I voted for Hillary because, yes, you know, the woman said...
You voted for Hillary because there was a choice, Hillary or Trump. There was no other choice.
There was no way that Jill Stein was going to win. There was no way that the other guy was going to win because fuck, he didn't even know where the hell Aleppo was going to win.
And you didn't, and you didn't feel the sublime sense of privilege that is required in order to vote for a third party in a presidential election.
No, there I could. I forget what the brother's name was, but there was this brother right around the election said, "Don't get cute with your vote." And like you guys, you and Carol Baker were talking earlier about, you know, fuck the people who voted for Trump because, you know, the latent races and, you know, who would have voted for Trump regardless. I'm only worrying about the ones, the 48 of those people who stayed home. I want to know why they stayed home. I want to figure out a way to get them to the polls next time. I want to make sure they're
well. The first thing you have to do is try to find them, and that's not easy. I mean, the new trend in the broadcast media, television media, is to hold town halls, and so you try to get a nice even mix of Republicans and Democrats, or more than that, you try to get a nice even mix of Hillary voters and Trump voters, and then you try to have a nice talk with them. Well. There's not a lot of room to one. He didn't win the popular vote, so the Trump voters really don't have a lot to offer, and they're not gonna put down that fig leaf, so that we can all see that they are enablers of the Klan and neo Nazis and whatnot. And the Hillary voters got it right anyway, and so it becomes a little bit of a. Well, a little bit of maybe futility attaches to it. I mean, I think there's value in getting the information. But the real questions that we have to answer are of questions that we would ask to people who could not be bothered to participate in their own well-being.
Exactly. The same people in your neck of the woods and down south and whatnot who constantly vote Republican, voting against their own self-interest. It's like, it's a...
But see, that's the thing. They didn't. They perceived their self-interest to be the precious little fetuses.
Right.
And they perceived their self-interest to be goons, which somehow or another the Kenyan Muslim managed not to be able to take away over the course of 8 years, even though they were told every goddamn day he was gonna. And they perceived their self-interest to be bringing back Ko.
And he's been in office for 47 days, he guess? 47?
Yeah.
Or has the coal jobs been brought back yet?
No, and they're not coming back.
Have the manufacturing jobs?
Let me qualify that, Tracy. If you go and look on my timeline on Facebook, you will find a picture of the middle ridge of Coal River Mountain. Or I should say, what used to be Middle Ridge of Coal River Mountain. Because it's gone. It isn't there anymore. And that's not something that happened 4 years ago. That happened recently. You know, I hear the blasts here at the mansion. You know, Agnes and I'll be sitting there, and I'll boom. And we'll look up, she'll look, and go, there goes another one. And as a result, no, coal is not dead. It never was. It was never over. There was no war on coal. What the coal industry was doing was retooling to do it with less people. And they're going to keep doing it with less people.
With less people. It's like how we have the automated checkout lanes at the grocery store. Same thing. They're trying to do more work with less people.
Yeah.
If you have less people, then you have to, like the fool that they were trying to do this as a secretary of labor, who figures let's just have robots do everything. At least he stepped down. Thank God for that. Once we have one minor miracle in this fecal tsunami. That is the Trump administration. And as far as the 800-pound gorilla, Bernie, you know, yes, we keep talking about the election because people, yes, stayed home. And yes, people voted for, you know, because we have the election did matter because we have this fool that is our president because people did not vote or for the people stayed home. And we got the Electoral College because people got cute with their vote. And now we have this fool because people decided that, you know, they didn't want to vote for Hillary. And I don't care how pissed off it makes people think, I don't care. We wouldn't be having these cuts. We wouldn't be talking about the election still if people did not vote for this fool. And then now we have this. We're still having these conversations in 2017 that people are being stopped at, you know, that people are, you know, calling this fool presidential because he was able to read off the teleprompter. I am so pissed off at Van Jones. I cannot believe this man. You know,
Let's take a moment there. Carol said he made her want to vomit. I agreed. And you, Tracy, you who are by definition speaking for all black people everywhere.
When he said, and he's because he is going to be a second term president because he exploited the death. He made the woman a widow. It's his fault. He was having a conversation at dinner. And it wasn't so much that he, you know, the fact that he has not taken responsibility for the fact for us. he what was this done over dinner? He was having a dinner and decided that I just want to have a raid, and said it was Obama's fault. It was Obama's fault. This is the military's fault. Here's generals. What the fuck? What? Seriously, guys?
Yeah, but look what he did. Look what he did with his crazy tweet, Tracy. Now, everybody was talking about the fact, or had started talking about the fact, that Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III turns out to be a bald-faced liar. See, I'll say that here.
He lies about the rug on the head of Trump.
Right. I mean, the folks in the Tucson Sativ for-profit media will not call him a liar. I will, but only because he lied. It was rather obvious that he lied. And we were talking about that until Twitler. Remember the word twooping? You know, what time did those tweets come out? 5:30 in the morning? Yeah, he was twooping.
Yep.
He was tweeting and pooping. He was twooping. And we get Barack Obama tapped my phones. And then the next tweet is Arnold Schwarzenegger sucks.
Right. He's back. He never left.
Right.
He never left. He wasn't being presidential, y'all. He was reading from the teleprompter. He studied the speech. Didn't they have a picture? Didn't they have film of him coming up to Congress, reading his notes, you know, marking it with crayon on what he's supposed to say? They probably sat him down for hours.
Yes.
And I mean, the script.
You want a great moments in orange privilege? That's it. Okay, Barack Obama stands up and delivers an oration worthy of Pericles, and the right wing is, God damn it, he can't do nothing without no teleprompter. Donald Trump manages not to pick his teeth with his toenails, and suddenly he's presidential because he managed to read something. God almighty!
That's presidential? That's presidential and Van fucking Jones. But remember back during the election, what did he say about Bernie?
Crazy Uncle Bernie or something like that?
Crazy Uncle Bernie with the wild hair or something like that. He was a step away from calling him the crazy Jew. I think he was that far. He was seconds away to calling him the crazy Jew. I really think he was. You know, and I'm like, and he caught hell from that. It's like, man. And there was no way to take it out of context or anything like that. Well, you know, I didn't mean it that way. No, Van, you call the man. I don't care. You call the man presidential.
And see, the thing is, that has more value and more importance because Van Jones's words went around the damn world at light speed.
Right.
Important liberal commentator agrees. Trump presidential.
Right.
I mean, that's like, oh, I don't know. That's like Charles Lindbergh coming back to America and saying, well, I really do think that Mr. Hitler is quite the good fellow.
Exactly. Basically, that's what he did, didn't he? Wasn't he a sympathizer?
Yes, he did.
He's an okay chap. He's not that bad, really. It's, you know.
Certainly seems to have the best interest of Germany in mind.
Especially the Jews. He really, you know what they thinking that he's doing with the Jews? Hyperbole is y'all taking it out of context. It is not that bad. No.
While we're at it, I want to raise another issue. And this is something you can't do anything about, and I can't do anything about, and nobody but Jewish people can do anything about. And far be it from me to offer up, you know, orders to the Jewish community any more than I do the black community or the anything. Well, I don't even give orders to the pink community. But, you know, we've noticed, okay, one, Jared Kushner and Ivanka, after she converted, are Orthodox Jews. And that means that, you know, they knock off at sundown Friday and they don't do squat until sundown Saturday. Unless, of course, they're marching in an inaugural parade or going to the inauguration itself or participating in luncheons or things like that. But,
right.
But part of the problem arises in that apparently, and there was an article in the Washington Post, The Fury of Donald Trump. And according to sources cited by the Washington Post, he lost what was left of his spirochete hollowed mind just before he went down to Mar-a-Lago on our dime again after having criticized Barack Obama for playing a round of golf a while back. I mean, he lost his shit. He lost his shit so bad that Rince Priebus and Steve Bannon had to stay behind at the White House. Okay.
Yeah, he's been a little, yeah.
And, yeah, Jared and Ivanka went down with him, but, you know, still, they do the Sabbath thing. And that's when he gets hold of his, crappy Samsung Galaxy 3 and starts tweeting like the crazy little bastard he is.
That's the one he loses the most, isn't it, on the Sabbath? Because
Jared and Ivanka aren't riding herd on him. So here's my thing. I want the Jewish community to reach out to Jared and Ivanka's rabbi. Because the rules, the rules are rules for a reason. But they can also be broken if there is a greater good to be achieved by them. How the rabbi business works.
My wife is Jewish, but this is a woman who during Passover, her mother called her and asked her what she was doing, and she said eating a shrimp cocktail and having a ham sandwich.
Okay, so probably not Orthodox. Here's what needs to happen. People of the Jewish faith all over America need to find out who Jared and Ivanka's rabbi is, and they need to write to him, because it's a him, because Orthodox.
Right, that's true. They're not going to have female rabbis.
And then they need to write to him, and they say, listen, you need to tell Jared and Ivanka that they are hereby released for the next 4 years from observing the Sabbath and from the prohibition of working on the Sabbath. You need to explain to them that it'll be a mitzvah, a good thing, a blessing. It'll be a mitzvah if they can just keep Donald away from the damn Twitter phone and keep him from blowing up the world. That won't solve all our problems, but it might take a little bit of the starch out of some of them. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, because I'm this past weekend it's just listening to, you know, the thing how he lost his shit over our President Obama. And see, I'm at that point now that I don't refer to him as Obama anymore. I refer to him as in caps, President Obama, just to piss people off. Because, like you said earlier in the broadcast, if he could have ran again, I would have voted for him just to keep.
Now you're going to get me another email calling you a sycophant and a sympathizer. Now quit it.
That's what I meant to say when you answered the phone, when I came on air. I should have said, "Hi, I'm Tracy Porter. I'm the head sycophant in charge."
Wait a minute. Just because I know what word replaces sycophant. But
that's what I should have said. And I appreciate and understand where people are coming from with, you know, not wanting Hillary Clinton as president. I appreciate
I voted for Bernie in the primary. I didn't want Hillary for president.
I live in California. Who the fuck do you think I voted for in the primary? I marched my happy black ass grinning. I'm a permanent vote by mail voter, permanent. But what did I do? I filled out my ballot. I walked my happy black ass. Well, not walked. I drove because I'm a Californian. That's what we do. I drove to my polling place and dropped my ballot and made sure I voted for Bernie in June of last year. That's who I wanted for president. But in came November the 8th, I knew there was only one of two choices, and it was only going to be Hillary or the Orange Wonder. And I knew that if the Orange Wonder became the Orange Orangutan, and I'm sorry to even put that's a diss to orangutans everywhere. I apologize. If I had voted for if I knew if he had become president, I knew what was going to happen. I knew come November the 9th what fresh hell this country would be in. But I also had this horrible feeling, and we both knew. Both of us had this horrible feeling, Bob. You, me, and Michael Moore.
All three of us knew
that Hillary Clinton was going to lose. We felt it. We knew it. But see, me as a black person and most black people in this country, black people have been prepared for Donald Trump as president because this country has never been for anybody that looked like me. We have been prepared for this for 400 and some odd years. Okay, we've been prepared for this shit. But y'all folks, y'all just getting a taste of what we've had, the shit storm that we've had for all these years. I did not want it to come to this. I was praying to God, you know.
You are. You're sitting in a state where you're still at least
relatively reasonably safe.
I mean, California, if the Congress does what it plans to do, California can arguably pass its own universal single payer and tell the Republicans in Congress to off. Oh, by the way, is Devin Nunez from California?
I don't know. I can honestly say I have no idea who that is.
Member of the House.
The name sounds familiar. Why does that sound familiar? That sounds familiar. He sounds from Google. Devin Nunez.
Yeah, California's 22nd congressional district. So here's a question for the voters in the 22nd congressional district of California. Which takes in the San Joaquin Valley and most of western Tulare County and much of eastern Fresno County. The hell is wrong with you people?
He's a Republican.
Yeah, because he's got considerable power, Tracy, over the issue of investigations. Okay? And he was talking to some members of the press who kept asking him, well, what about Donald Trump saying Barack Obama tapped my phones during the campaign? Because let's remember, again, as noted, he didn't say I think or I speculate or maybe. He said Barack Obama
straight up said.
Barack Obama tapped my phones, bad, paren, or sick guy. Well, some reporters asked him about that. And you know what Devin Nunes of California's 22nd Congressional District said?
Okay.
You might want a hockey puck for this.
Wait a minute. Devin Nunes just chastised press for taking Trump literally with Obama's accusation.
There you go.
Yes.
You people seem to take him literally. And I read that, and that was a run out into the yard, you know, tear at the dirt, run rabbits, bark at the moon. What the hell else are we supposed to take him?
He said...
I mean, if you can't take him literally, that I think Devin Nunes just confessed to the fact that the President of the United States is a pathological liar.
Pathological liar. And that was just 3 hours ago. Okay.
Damn.
He needs to go.
But again, as I said with Steve King and as I said with Louis Gohmert, if you've got an asshole in Congress, that means there's a congressional district that has assholes in it who sent them there.
Yeah. See, like you said, and... my question is, when the President of the United States goes on Twitter and does a Twitter rant and says that the former President of the United States tapped my phone, which he does not have the power. I mean, because see, here's the thing. If he had any sense, he would know that the President of the United States does not have such powers that only a judge can do that, and it would have to be probable cause to do so.
Well, here's the other fun thing. The President of the United States has a power that nobody else in the whole wide world has. The President of the United States can order the declassification of documents, and nobody can question him. Not a soul. Even God Almighty can't. If there was actual evidence that Barack Obama, no, really, wiretapped Donald Trump, he could simply release the documents, just like he could simply release his own tax returns.
His tax return.
But no. He's not gonna, because it's a lie. Because I mean, you do know the origin of this shit, right?
Of Breitbart.
No, it starts out with Mark Levin.
Oh, God.
Mark Levin, the right winger with a voice made for print.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you can listen to Mark Levin, even absent content, if you can listen to the voice of Mark Levin reading a toothpaste tube ingredient list and not run screaming from the room after 2 minutes, you are either stone deaf or stronger than Hercules. Mark Levin went on the air and said, "There is a silent coup by Barack Obama against Donald Trump." He makes Alex Jones sound like Pavarotti, okay?
These people. Can I have that? I used to tell you back when I was taking classes about, you know, my black study classes, and I would have those I don't like white people moments.
Yeah.
I've been having a lot more of those lately. And, you know, and it really isn't my horn family, but I have these moments when I have moments when white people exasperate me, and when it's very exhausting to be black in this country, when white privilege overwhelms me and it exhausts me to that point, like this afternoon, when I'm watching these two little white girls in a car ahead of me, and they're just doing all this stuff and stopping and starting and just doing stuff. And I'm thinking, if I did the same thing or just watching when things that people do, and as white people, and if I do the same thing, the things that would happen to me or my son or any of my relatives or my friends that are black, that I can't do by virtue of the fact that I'm black. And it just, and I'm not feeling sorry. I don't feel sorry for myself. That's not what I'm saying. But it's that privilege. And it's just, it's like, the, you know, the things that Barack Obama couldn't do as president, he was the president of the United States. And as president, should have been able to do more, but couldn't because why? He was black. And that infuriates me. Did I send you that video of the sister that was just talking about the mediocrity?
Donald Trump, mediocre white man?
Right. And if you ever get a chance, you need to play that for the Horn family. Because it's just, and the way she put, that sister broke it down was just, it left me speechless.
Well, look, I mean, what we were talking about him successfully reading from a teleprompter is exhibit one in that. Oh, look, little Donnie read something. He read big words with three syllables. Oh, let's all pat little Donnie on the head.
And then you listen to our former president speak, and sometimes some of the stuff that he, you know, and like you said, I'm far from a Barack Obama apologist, because there were so many things that I wanted him to do that he didn't do, that he could have done just by executive orders or what have you.
Yeah, but he didn't give everybody a pony, especially the sparkle fart powered unicorn cavalry purity brigade. They goddamn wanted a pony, and they didn't give a damn about the Congress. He was supposed to just be able to snap his little magic Kenyan fingers, Kenyan muslin fingers, and zap like a pharaoh. So let it be written. So let it be done in the land of Egypt. And you know, never mind the fact that he had a Congress that absolutely refused to do a single goddamn thing with him.
Right. They I mean, especially in 2010, they didn't run on, this is what I'm going to do for the country. This is how I'm going to make the United States better. Their whole platform, when they ran in 2010... when they ran in 2012.
Listen, Tracy, you would think that stupid orange bastard was the first one ever to propose an infrastructure program. I actually remember when Barack Obama introduced his with high speed rail all over the country.
Right.
But see, if you ask the Sparkle Ponies, it's his fault for that not getting done. And the Republicans in Congress? No, hell no. They don't get any of the grief when they're the ones who stopped it. Jesus Christ. A Spanish manufacturing firm that specialized in the manufacturing of train cars moved in and set up shop in Wisconsin and started employing people to make train cars.
How many jobs? How many people?
And then Scott Walker said, "Yeah, but we don't want no railroads."
No.
And so all those jobs that were going to be created disappeared, like vapor. Okay. And then Scott Walker had the unmitigated nerve to look at Barack Obama and say, "But could we still have the money? I like money."
I like money, but I don't want to give nobody jobs.
Because then Scott Walker could have given it away to his pets.
So it's just, you know, so when you know, this revisionist history that we have, that, you know, this the same revisionist history that have been Carson saying that, you know, slaves were immigrants and they came on the bottom of, you know, I was thinking about that earlier today when he was saying about that, and I thought about that. Well, you know, if there was ever a time for the Muslim ban, because, you know, most of the slaves that were brought here were Muslims, I'm pretty sure that those brothers and sisters would not have minded the Muslim ban. Send my ass back. think, you know what, if you don't want the Muslims, they would have been more than happy to go back to Africa. If there was ever a time, you know, you
they would have been happy to stay right where the hell they were.
Yes. Yes. Really? You know, it's this, and like Carol was saying earlier, and, you know, this, when Carol gets on the phone, this is why I, you know, your conversations is why Carol is the queen of the minions. You know, this the revisionist history, or the fact that, you know, when these people were allowed to homeschool their children, and when we took civics out of schools, and when you're educating or not educating, and you have a bunch of idiots, and you don't have people realizing where this country was in the 50s and the 60s, and hell, even in the 70s. And when out here in California, you know, we had in California, our schools were the gold standards. I remember back in the day when you wanted somebody to, if you had a prospective employee, and you know how you got somebody to come out here from another state to bring their family, it wasn't the private schools, Bob. It was our public schools. That was until Howard Jarvis at Prop 13. And we stopped, and it was the end of the property taxes, and our schools started going to shit. I remember how great our schools were. Our schools were our public schools rivaled private schools. My graduating class, when I graduated from high school, we had people going to Harvard and Yale and Stanford. And the Air Force Academy, the Naval Academy, and that was the majority of my graduating class, and that was from a public school, man.
I know.
Public school.
Well, you know what? A separate topic. I continue to give credit to Al Franken where credit is due. Yes, I know. Oh, Jesus, Al Franken, APAC. Oh, he's a tool of the Israelis. Oh, God damn it. Yeah, I know. But the fact of the matter is, Jake Tapper asked Al Franken in regard to Sessions, do you think he perjured himself? What do you think the penalty should be? Do you think he should resign? Al Franken said, I think he should. Yeah, he should.
He should.
He said, I think he should come before the committee and explain this. Of course, no one asked him about the Russian ambassador. He's the one who volunteered to speak to anybody, and it turned out he had met twice with the Russian ambassador, once in a private meeting, and he had 7 weeks to just notify us. He said, this is about the Russian government hijacking our election, and this is about whether there was any collusion in that interference by the Trump campaign, and it raises all kinds of questions.
And see, and then you have Chaffetz talking about who is he trying to investigate now?
I mean, Franken even went so far as to say, listen, I've been cutting him a lot of slack. I've been refusing to say that he lied. I've wanted to wait for this letter to come out, but it's hard to come to any other conclusion than that he just perjured himself. Now, do you remember when we spent $70 million over a guy who said, I did not have sex with that woman?
I have sex with that woman.
When there was actually an argument to be made as to whether or not the blowjob constituted having sex. I realize we're splitting hairs here, but there's coitus and then there's not coitus.
Okay, where is coitus? Was there intercourse?
I did not have talk with them with that country, the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I would be remiss if I did not note that the Jeff Sessions parody on Saturday Night Live was the most brilliant part of that entire program. Especially when the maid from The Help showed up with the chocolate pie for him.
I had company over the weekend. My brother was visiting, so I missed it. I usually have to catch stuff the next day or the day after. My voice is
my allergies are kicking my ass. But see, at least I have insurance. I can go to the doctor. As a matter of fact, we're going to go to...
Oh, and by the way, one other thing. A Russian newspaper has announced to the world that on March the 12th, which is the next full moon, Sunday, on March the 12th, witches and sorcerers...
Go ahead.
On March the 12th, Sunday, a full moon, witches and sorcerers will gather together to deprive Donald Trump of the ability to speak.
Well, by the way, I don't know if Carol Baker and I and another friend, that's the day we're supposed to do our dance in our backyards naked.
Yes.
We formed a coven.
Well, apparently there's all kinds of witches and sorcerers, and they're just going to strike him mute. I have never rooted harder for witches and sorcerers in my entire life.
We have formed a coven, and it's going to be a potluck as well.
But eventually somebody whose brain is eaten up by spirochetes often does lose the ability to speak.
Well, we have decided to form a coven. So it's us. And
it's pretty cheap. I mean, you just buy a bag of Cheetos and you stick pins in the Cheetos.
And what we're going to, and since we're forming a coven, it's going to be a potluck. And we decided that since, you know, we're going to use Eye of Newt to reverse the calories. So everything that we bring to the potluck will be Weight Watchers friendly. Ah, speaking of Weight Watchers, I am down 26.4 pounds.
Wow. I'm not sure where I am.
Yes.
But I think I continue to lose weight, too.
I have now, I am down to, instead of three X's, there is now only one X. And my I am down now for the first time, and I don't remember how long, I'm under 250 pounds. I can actually see my feet. I could tie my shoes. I actually have ankles again.
It's a beautiful thing. And by the way, you just got a note in from Brother Deacon Asa up in Canada. He said, Tracy's being too agreeable. Can you ask her to be a mite less sycophantic, please?
Well, you know, it's the
I mean, you know, maybe call me Cracker or Whitey or something. You know, it's just to, you know.
Well, I said I didn't like that. I'm having a day of, I'm having a good day. I could tell, you know what? I can say how. I could, you know, what were you saying about the Democratic Party needing to, with attention to deficit disorder?
Well, that's all of us.
I'm on Adderall now. Well, see, I can tell them that.
Oh, well, you'll be focusing on things now, Tracy. Yep.
Well, that's the thing. The Adderall has been helping me with maintaining my focus on my homework and stuff. And I can actually call white people crazy motherfuckers. How about that?
Okay. Okay. That just reduced your sycophancy score. Well, Tracy, it's been lovely talking to you. I'm going to try to wedge in one more phone call here, but it's been awesome talking to you.
Me too.
And I'm so glad to hear from you. Damn, I'm just so glad to be back on the air.
All right, honey, do you know how hard it was that I couldn't call you we couldn't hear you on Wednesday after that bullshit that Trump pulled on last Tuesday? So thank you.
I was barking mad. I was. And it didn't get any better Thursday, and it didn't get any better Friday or Saturday and Sunday.
How short are we now?
We are $30. We are $30 short of meeting Carol's challenge, and that'll take us down to only $485 to go to get even.
Okay, well, count me for the 30.
All right. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you very kindly.
All right, my love.
You have a good evening. Bye now. The lady cab driver, Tracy, the one and only. And so we have $485 to go to catch up with what we missed out during my enforced absence, courtesy of Appalachian Electric Power. I hope this is going to work. got a call coming in from Iowegia on the stress line. Hey, are you there? Don't tell me you gave up. No, you're there. Okay, stand by. All right, let's try this again. Hey, who have I got?
This is Frank out of Iowa.
Hey, Frank, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I wanted to ask you a question, if I could, Bob.
Okay.
You were talking earlier about this this amended getting rid of the ACA, Obamacare, whatever. Do you think the Republicans have the votes for the unity to do anything with this, or is this just all kind of political theater?
No, I think they've probably got the votes to get it out of preliminary votes are coming like tomorrow, I think. They've probably got the votes to get it out of the House. And then once Mitch McConnell turns his stink eye on those four Republican senators, they'll get it through the Senate, too. And if the Democrats so much as bat an eyelash about a filibuster, he'll bust them back to the Stone Age, or else they'll make it part of reconciliation and make it filibuster-proof. Bang, it lands on Trump's desk. He signs it. We're fucked.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, I was just curious because there seems to be a lot of rumbling and grumbling among the Freedom Caucus and other caucuses that are, the whole Republican Party seems to be in disarray.
Oh, yeah. The Freedom Caucus is rumbling and grumbling because they wanted a one-sentence bill. They wanted a one-sentence bill that said the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act be and is hereby repealed. That's what they want.
Okay.
They want to just go ahead and line up the 38 million people to die.
Right.
So
right.
This is an attempt to put lipstick on a pig and pretend that it's something other than that. But the elements that are in it are essentially sufficient to kill the Affordable Care Act, and consequently the Freedom Caucus, once Paul Ryan gets done giving them the stink eye, will come around.
Okay.
It's all theater for the mouth breathers and the knuckle walkers.
Well, it certainly seems to be a frightening time for us in this union that we cherish.
It's past frightening, Frank. It's more like an existential crisis.
Well, that's what it is in so many ways. I think we're running up against the clock here, but I did have a couple of Iowa updates that might be of interest to you.
Do please.
Just a couple things. Right now in our legislature, which is Republican-dominated, as the governor, one of the things that they are in the process of doing is eliminating a minimum wage that's been approved in four counties in Iowa. They're going to go back to the $7.25 per hour, and they're going to reduce the salary for people that receive the minimum wage in three of these counties, including the county I live in. I live in Polk County, and they were talking about raising the minimum wage here. In fact, they did raise the minimum wage in the other counties to like $10 an hour, but the state's going to take that away, and it's going to be interesting to watch them. Well, they do what they want to do anyway. But,
right, and will they pay a price? Do you think?
Well, there's a lot of unhappiness with the Republicans, but I don't know. Scott Walker's able to maintain his
exactly, and a few million dollars of Citizens United money buying ads, swearing that whoever the Democratic challenger is eats cornflakes with baby blood over them and has fetus fricassees for dinner, and nothing changes.
Wow. It's scary times. The other thing that might be of interest to the listeners is that the legislature did do away with collective bargaining for state employees, except for firefighters and the police. So they still have collective bargaining, but they got rid of it for the thousands of other state employees all over the all
right,
over
straight out of the
Iowa.
Scott Walker Koch brothers playbook. The disease has metastasized across the state line.
Well, that's right, and so and he's been here to tell us how to run our state. So, and speaking of him, we also have done legislation that's you know, we're going to have a stand your ground type thing and unlimited guns for people that are of all ages, you know, children, as long as they're supervised by their parents. They can be age two and be supervised and be operating a handgun or Uzi or whatever they want.
Because so freedom.
Well, yeah. So that's what that's about. The other thing that's kind of interesting is that our county here, Polk County, we have a water system that's been in existence for about 100 years, and they're gonna do away with that as well. They're going to make it into a regional thing because our water is so polluted from all of the factory farms we have in the state that we have to pay extra money to get the nitrates out of our water so we have water to drink. And so they're going to put it under a state legislative kind of thing. So we're going to have another Flint here in the next couple of years, or that's what many of us fear. You know, we have an experience from that we see up in Michigan under their leadership there.
Strap in and hold on tight. I appreciate you bringing it to everybody's attention, Frank, and thank you for calling in.
All right, sir. Have a nice evening.
You too. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Our buddy Frank calling from Iowa. Hey, we made it. Well, okay, there was a burp in the stream. My apologies for that. But we should have a good recording of it, and the next thing I'll be doing is uploading to White Rose Society, uploading to iTunes, and uploading to Podbean. So you should be able to get whatever part of the program you missed quite easily. Thank you very kindly. Thanks, everybody, for helping us take a humongous bite out of what was what the deficit was. We'll start tomorrow with $685, so that's $485 left over, plus $200 for tomorrow evening. And we'll pass the plate on prayer meeting Wednesday. Thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful evening. Good night now.